Well, after 20 years of negotiations, producer Eric Abrams secured the rights to the show, and King Kong is coming home to the Fugard Theatre on the 25th of July. Music legend Leta Mbulu was just a teenager when she toured with the original production. She joins me on the line. Leta, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
What does King Kong mean for you?
Well, it means a lot of things. Yeah, it was the first production, musical production to come out of South Africa with beautiful and talented artists. A great story, even though most of that story was not told the way it should have been told, based on the fact that we were living under the system of apartheid. So there were things that we couldn't talk about. Mm. So I'm just hoping, because I did hear that King Kong is being produced in Cape Town, I'm just hoping that now we can be able to tell it the way it should have been told. But it was a great story, and I learned a lot from it, and I gained a lot of experience by being in King Kong because I was surrounded by very professional people, and I was also I got a chance to go to London and see how other productions are done in England. So you know, it means a great deal to me. I'm just sorry that the story was not told the way it should have been told, but it was a good story.
What parts of the story would you like to have been told?
Well, I think, you know, the story was about the way it was told. They said that this guy was a gangster. He was you know, a tsotsi, and he killed his girlfriend. But really, he wasn't. That's not the story. He was killed in prison. He was a boxer, but he was killed in prison because, you know, they considered him to have an attitude for black men to talk to white people like that, you know, the warders. So, you know, there are a lot of things that were left out in the story. And to some of us, you know, we get very disturbed when people decide that they're going to do it the way it was and they don't consult people who were in the story. Because we know, we could give you the story so that it can even become stronger.
And to retell it in a democratic South Africa.
Yes, exactly. So it would make more sense and people can truly appreciate what King Kong was about.
1959, South Africa had been living under apartheid for 11 years. Sharpeville massacre just 1 year later. What are your memories of that time?
Can you repeat the question? I'm getting in a car. And
it was apartheid, okay. South Africa when the original production was done. What are your memories of that time?
Oh, very difficult memories. You really don't want to think about that. I was young. I was still in school. And I remember so many things happening to my family personally. You know, one of my brothers was killed, actually, when we were rehearsing King Kong in 1958, which was the first production that was running in Gauteng. Mm. My brother, in December, we got a call, and I was 13 years old then, that my brother was killed in prison. He was shot point blank with a shotgun. And I was completely devastated. And I was in the show. And it was very difficult for me to continue, but you know, I had to because I started rehearsing and you know, we're opening in 2 weeks. So it's very, very sad memories for me. And every time I think about that, I just get very worked up, you know. But at the same time, there were a lot of things, you know, a lot of things that are happening to black people. The Sapphire Town people, the removals of people in Sapphire Town and many other places. And my family being kicked around, the police coming in and out, my brothers being asked for a passbook and being chased around the house at night, 4 o'clock in the morning, my mother not sleeping. And I remember when my mother was going around the prisons of South Africa looking for her children. Because most of them were in prison, you know, for not having a job. their passes were not signed because they were not employed. You know, all those things, you know, they conjure up very, very disturbing memories for me. They really do.
How did you actually become involved with the production?
I won a competition in 1958 at the Donaldson Hall in Soweto. It wasn't called Soweto then. It was called Orlando East. And the Union of South African Artists was going around producing these talent competitions. And I went with my group, the Swanky Sports, a group of four boys, and we took part in the competition, and I won. You know, we all won. And that's when I started working professionally. And Doke House became very interested in my talent, and they wanted me to come to Doke House and become a member. And I was, as I said, I was 13 years old, and I had a manager that was going around helping us to, you know, understand what was going on in the business. Singing was something that I always wanted to do. So it was easy for me to fall right in, and with the help, of course, of older artists, the artists like Miriam Makeba, Dolly Ratebe, Tandi, Klassen, and many, many others, the Skylarks. I can go on and on forever.
What was the influence of people like Hugh Masekela and Miriam Makeba? I'm touring with them as a young girl.
Miriam was Huey was not a big, was not big then. Mm. The person who was a star was Miriam. Miriam was a biggie because she started singing with the Manhattan Brothers, no, started singing with the Cuban Brothers. And they are the one who really put it up there. And then she left.
Oh, we seem to have lost Leta, we're going to try and get her back. Leta Mbulu, we've got her back on the line. Leta, there we go. There, we can hear you. Fantastic.
Okay.
I was asking before we got cut off about your memories of touring with Hugh Masekela and Miriam Makeba back in the 1950s, early 1960s.
It was great. But, you know, Huey at the time was not, I wouldn't, you know, he wasn't one of us. We were all struggling artists trying to make it and very being very young in the company. But Miriam Makeba was already a star then. And so Huey played in the band, in the big band that was backing up the whole production. And Miriam was the leader of, was a leading lady in the show, and she was an amazing woman. And you know, she held that show so much together, you know, that we all of us, I think, as young artists, we were at all, you know, or in awe to watch her perform. It was fantastic. I will always cherish those days when I was with her, really, always.
In 1961, the show moved to London, which was pretty much unheard of. But that's also where Miriam and Hugh Masekela went into exile.
Yes, exactly. Actually, Miriam wasn't in King Kong in London. What happened before King Kong went to London, Miriam met a gentleman by the name of Rogerson from Paris, who was going around shooting a film called... I can't remember now the name of the film. And it was done in Sofatown. It was shot in Sofatown in one of the Shebeen. And after that, because the film was very highly political, Rogerson decided that Miriam must leave the country and go to Paris to promote the movie. And Rogerson was the first to get to Paris, and Miriam followed him. And when it got there, the film was a hit. And the next thing... She met Steve Allen, who was a television producer and host, who loved what Miriam was doing on the film, and he decided that Miriam must come to the United States. But he didn't know how to contact her. So somehow, I think he got to Belafonte and told Harry Belafonte that, listen, I saw a movie and there's a girl there, by the name of Miriam Makeba, and I love her work. I'd like her to come to the United States and perform. And Harry kind of made all kinds of arrangements trying to find her in Paris. And finally, they got together, and Miriam was flown to New York, and the rest is history. But then the production went to London. We had to rehearse a new leading lady. And Abigail became that leading lady. And then after that, to London, it became Peggy Panga, who became the actual leading lady in London.
You also ended up in exile in the United States.
Mm-hmm, I did.
What happened?
Yeah. Well, my story is quite different from many other people who went to the States. My husband was already in the United States. He was with a show called Spawn On, which was produced by and written by Alan Payton.
Your husband, the musical legend, Kephas Semenya, yeah.
Yeah, my he was husband. Already there with the show. And when he got there, he decided that he wanted me to follow. And that, really, that's how I got to the United States. And after that, he collaborated with Miriam to getting me a gig at the Village Gate. And I opened at the Village Gate in December. And after that, you know, one thing led to another. And I started, you know, like, because Miriam was highly political, you know, and also most of her songs were social comment songs. Mm. And I learned from her, you know, that, you know, when you have a platform, you have to begin to talk about the plight of your people. And she taught me a lot. Her and Harry Belafonte taught me, because I watched her and Harry perform, and it was amazing to me that people who have made all this money, who are big, they can still think about the small people. And to me, that was a great lesson, and I will be grateful forever for that.
You went on to collaborate with Harry Belafonte a lot, Michael Jackson, several world tours as well. When did you return to South Africa?
I came back in South Africa in 1991. We did a show at the Orlando Stadium. And after that, I went back because we had bought a home in the States, in Los Angeles. And somebody had to be there to make sure that when we decide to put it on the market, you know, someone is there to do the business of selling, you know, the property. Kaifas was, you know, when he came here in Nigeria, he didn't leave because he got a contract to do a film called Molo Fish. They wanted him to write the music for the film, so he didn't go back with me to the States. I went back to the States, but we came back in 1997 permanently after, you know, selling the property.
Now, King Kong, the musical, has also come back home.
Yes.
Big shoes for the cast to fill. What advice would you give them?
Well, I think, first of all, they've already rehearsed it. And, you know, I don't know what to say because I haven't seen it. I don't know what kind of a story they are telling. But my as I said to you earlier, if they want King Kong to be even stronger than the one we did, I think it would be better for them to deal with the truth of it all. Because the story is very powerful, but we just could not tell it the way we should have told it. And that would be my advice to the cast. But I'm sure they'll have a good time. You know, they will enjoy it. Because it's a fabulous, especially the music. It's very beautiful music written by Todd Machikiza. So it's a great story, but it needs some truth to it. And that's my opinion.
Listening at the beginning of the show to Miriam Makeba singing Back of the Moon, how did that make you feel so many years later?
Oh, boy. Of course, it takes me back so many years ago. You know, we've been very close with Miriam, and it brings very, very, very interesting memories. It is that.
Will you be going to see the show?
I don't know. Well, if I get an invite, definitely.
We'll be sure to send that on to the cast. Letta, just finally, for people that don't know the significance of the history and don't know the whole story, what would you like them to know going in to see this production about what it is in our South African musical history?
Well, I think, first of all, I think what they need to know is that this was one of the best shows to go overseas. And it was well produced. The production was excellent. I mean, the way things were put together, it was highly professional. And also that this country, at the time, with all the difficulties that we're going through, we had the most talented group of artists that I had ever known in my entire life. So, like, they should be encouraged by that. And also know that these guys left a legacy that they need to take and own, because King Kong is our story and we need to take ownership of it.
Letta Mbulu, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
You're welcome.
Jazz legend Letta Mbulu there, who toured with the original King Kong production back in 1959 when it was first staged, 11 years into apartheid South Africa, 1 year before the Sharpeville massacre. It launched the careers of legends Hugh Masekela and Miriam Makeba, as she said, though. And after over half a century later, King Kong the Musical now starts its run at the Fugard Theatre from the 25th of July to the 2nd of September, and then we'll move to the Mandela Theatre in Johannesburg from the 12th of September to the 8th of October.